All right, we'll answer the question as to why the Jews keep a 15th Passover, and the Bible says keep a 14th Passover. Okay? And they have all kinds of ways of fudging with the scriptures and interpretations, which is another whole problem. Okay. Now, Numbers 9, we have something very interesting. This is the second Passover, the first one in the wilderness. The original Passover was observed where? In Egypt, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, verse 1, Numbers 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses. So as we come to Numbers 9, this is the second Passover, first one being in Egypt, this one being in the wilderness. So we're going to learn something here. We're going to learn the principle from Numbers 9, which gives us a clue as to why the Jews keep the 15th, which is the wrong day for the Passover, and the churches of God keep the 14th, which is the right day. Because God said that's the day, didn't he? Okay, hold your place right here in Numbers 9. Go to Leviticus 23. All right, let's read the command. That's in addition to what we've already studied in Exodus 12. Okay, Leviticus 23, just a few pages back. Verse 4. These are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Now, the Passover is a holy convocation because God commanded it, but it is not a holy day because of the work and everything that was done on it. And also, coming down in time to where Jesus was crucified on the Passover day, none of these things could have happened if it was a holy day. So the Passover is not a holy day, but it is a holy convocation. Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month between the two evenings. Now that particular phrase comes from the Hebrew, which you hear a lot when we get around Passover time, Bein Ha'ar Ba'im, which is after sunset. Sunset is Ba'erev, and is a time period of about 3 to 5 minutes. Okay? Bein Har Ba'im, between the two evenings, is between sunset and dark. Since sunset ends one day and begins the other, this then has to be at the beginning of the 14th. Not the middle, not the end, okay? Between the two evening is the Lord's Passover. So the Passover belongs to God. All the holy days belong to God. It is completely wrong to say they are Jewish, though Jews keep some of them. And I mention some. And the Jews, in order to really understand the truth of the whole Bible, need to put aside their arrogance and their vanity that they are the chosen ones. It's like one Jew said, if we're the chosen ones, we've sure had a rough time. Wondering, Lord, what have we been chosen for? See? And it makes you wonder, I wonder how many, when they were herded into the various places during the Holocaust where they met their end, that they were wondering, why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? Well, we can't answer the whole question entirely. Some people say God allowed it. Well, does God allow or does God cause? So there are many things that we cannot answer directly what is in the mind of God. However, we do know from the Word of God that if you are serving God, that you can avoid a lot of these things. And so in rejecting Christ, clear back in 30 AD, all of these things heaped upon them. Plus, there were a lot who professed to be Jews, but were actually Khazarians from Turkish tribes and not from the tribe of Judah. So that has to factor into that kind of thing. Back to the point here concerning the Passover. All right. In the 14th day of the first month, between the two evenings, is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Since one day begins at sunset, the other day begins at the next sunset. Right? All right. So come over back here to Numbers 9. And we'll finish off verse 1. In the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, this is the Lord speaking, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at its appointed time. So the Passover is an appointed time. The most important appointed time of the Passover is the crucifixion of Christ, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world, correct? Yes. And as a matter of fact, the whole Bible, Old Testament, points to Christ, and the New Testament looks back to him and then forward to the kingdom of God. You shall keep it according to all its statutes, according to all the ceremonies of it. So then you have to go back and get all the instructions in Exodus 12, what they were to do. When to kill it, roast it, don't boil it, eat it with bitter herbs, take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost. So if you're at the tents, what do? You put it on the outside tent poles. Okay? So that's how they had to keep it, because it says all its statutes and all the ceremonies of it. So that has to include everything that they did with the Passover in Egypt. Verse 4, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel to keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month between the two evenings in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, the children of Israel did. Now, when you understand what we just covered there in Leviticus 23, this seems very straightforward, doesn't it? Okay? All right. A problem came up. Verse 6. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said to them, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Why are we kept back that we may not offer the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel? Okay, very good question. Why are we kept from doing this? It's commanded. What are we going to do? Okay. And Moses said to them, wait here, and I will hear what the Lord will command about you. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, all right, now we have a clarification here. If any man of you or of your generation shall be unclean because of a dead body or in a journey afar off, he shall still keep the Passover to the Lord. He shall keep it in the 14th day of the second month between the two evenings, eating it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. Okay? But the man that is clean and is not in a journey. Now, when you are in a journey, where are you? You're outside of the land. It's talking about being outside the geographical territory of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And holds back from keeping the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at the appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. Okay? So this was an allowance that if he got back to the land by the second month, before the 14th, he could keep the Passover. Okay? So the Jews understood this, and they had this part correct, that if you're out of the land, you can't keep a 14th Passover. But you could keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There is no such command concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what the Jews did, they kept the Passover of the exiled on the 15th, which should have been, that might to be much observed in coming out of Egypt, but they were in exile, so they just renamed the whole thing Passover. That's how, beginning with the diaspora of Babylon, the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread became to be called the Passover. So instead of having the Passover meal with a lamb roasted, which they could do if they were in the land, they had a shank bone, and they had a meal, and they had various rituals that they added to it. And they called that the Passover. Well, now, very interesting, you read that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are a total of 8 days, correct? Okay. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to be over at sunset on the 21st day of the first month. So that would make a total of 7 days, because they didn't keep the 14th. So what did the Jews do? They added another day to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 22nd. See? Now, one rabbi, and this was a hard quote to come by for the book, so please read it in the Passover book, Passover of the Exile. A Karaite Jew admitted and said, "We do not keep the 14th Passover because all the Jews at that time were in exile. And with the very few who were around Jerusalem and Judea today, they are still all in exile." Okay? So he said, we don't keep the 14th because we're not in the land. We have been exiled because of our sins and the sins of our forefathers in whose footsteps we walk. So that was really quite a tremendous quote. Then I got some information from a rabbi up in Vancouver, B.C., talking about the coming rebuilding of the temple and maybe the Passover on the 14th, and I have some good quotes in that chapter, how that the Jews in the area now, in Judah or Judea, are considering when the temple is built a 14th Passover again, although not a domestic one, but one at the temple. See? So because of all these things, now, the Passover book is very detailed, covers every question. And if there is a question that is not asked or answered in the book, let me know so we can include it, okay? But you see, the Passover is so focally important concerning the whole plan of God. So when the Jews rejected Jesus and were still in the diaspora, Passover became traditionally and institutionalized on the 15th. Now, I won't get into all the reasonings and how they got around Leviticus 23. Okay. But, okay, thanks for the question. Yeah, we're just covering the one with Israel. But you see, that gets us to 30 AD. Now, let me just summarize something else that's very important here. What is a living principle concerning the things in the Bible? Okay? I think I've covered this enough, so we don't need to cover that anymore. Let's come to Psalm 111, okay? And as we started this out, remember it was Psalm 119 and verse 18, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. But let's come to Psalm 111. Let's see a living principle that applies at all times, in all places, in all ages. And this is why we will see the opposite of this is why the Christian world doesn't understand the Bible. And rather than try and answer the questions, rather than go into the Bible to find out, they keep narrowing things down further and further and further so there's no controversy. And for the Protestants, all you have to do is believe Christ and accept him, and nothing else matters. Okay? So here, Psalm 111, and let's pick it up here in verse 7. The works of his hand are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. Okay. There is nothing that you're going to fudge on with God and receive a blessing because of it. Just that simple. They stand fast forever and ever. Okay? Think on that. Have we run out of time with forever and ever? No. Therefore, as Jesus said, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. Okay? Now notice something else. They are done in truth and uprightness. Nothing that God has uttered and has been recorded for us is a lie or is wrong. All correct. Our job is to find out the truth. So what we are dealing with here is this, is that when you love God and keep his commandments, and that's what Jesus said we should do, we understand. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:9, or 9:10, whichever one it is. All right, now Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. That's why the covenant was made for the new covenant was made on the 14th day. And the sacrifice was God manifested in the flesh. Holy and awesome is his name. Now here's the principle. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So here's what we learn from this. If you keep the commandments of God, you have understanding. If you don't keep the commandments of God, you don't have understanding. Now, understanding is not going to come from keeping alone. You must have diligent search and study and apply yourself like we started out. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then you have the Proverbs which says, it's the glory of God to hide something, but the honor of a king to search it out. So there are a lot of things that people don't understand. Why? Now, they all know they have sinful nature, and they all know that they need some kind of forgiveness, and they all know, at least in the Christian world, that can only come through Christ. Okay? But from there, they lose knowledge as well. Now, if you look, let's go back and look at the Jewish situation again, okay? Why do they not understand the New Testament? Now, some few do. There are some who do. But the majority of Judaism, we know, because number one, they rejected Christ. Okay? You reject him, you reject knowledge, he's the way, the truth, and the life, you reject all of that. Okay? Number two, they say they follow the Old Testament, but they do not. They keep their own traditions. So that further cuts them off. So here is a conundrum that we see with the Jews. It consists of the spring holy days because of their exile and rejecting of Jesus. They keep a 15th Passover, one day late, and they don't keep the Passover at all. See, that's no different than the Christian saying, well, we keep Sunday. It's exact same principle. Okay? So they're wrong on Passover. All right, they're also wrong on unleavened bread because they had to add a day at the end of it, which God never commanded, see? Okay? Now also, as we will see when we come down toward Pentecost, they miscount Pentecost because they start on the wrong day. What do we have? All the things concerning true Christianity and salvation and the resurrection, the Jews do not understand because those are understood through the spring holy days. Passover, unleavened bread, wave sheaf offering, Feast of Pentecost. Okay? Likewise with the Christians. They reject Passover. How do you get a day of Easter for a female goddess is the day of resurrection of Christ, you see. But we won't get into that here. I'm going to have that on Church at Home. Christians should not observe Easter, so you can watch it there. Okay. Now, but we find this. The Jews say we're waiting for the Messiah. That's true. What did Jesus say? Come back here to Matthew 23. Now, they've had a lot of false messiahs down through history, many of them. Here's what Jesus said, verse 34, Matthew 23. Now, what might be a wonderful study, because all of the Protestants like to believe in the sweet Jesus, the loving Father, okay? No, we can't go by the God of the Old Testament because he's hateful and mean and cruel and kills people. Do a study about what happens if you reject Christ. Give you a clue? Like a fire? Is that sweet and loving and kind? Merciful and forgiving? Not at all. All right, verse 34. Because of this, everything he did, boy, he really nailed the scribes and Pharisees, called them hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. Okay? Because of this, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues, and some of them you shall persecute from city to city, so that upon you may come all the righteous blood poured out upon the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Zacharias, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. All from A to Z, if you want to look at it that way, right? Yes. Now that's something. That's why, if you want a real lesson in history and the fulfillment of this, you read the fall of Jerusalem in the book of Josephus. And it was awesome. Makes the Nazi Holocaust look like kindergarten. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. He didn't want it to be that way. See, God always sets choices before us. And they rejected the choices. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who have been sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you refused. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. That's what it's been with the Jews from 70 AD on. Now, the little enclave that is called Israel today, God prophesied, would be there. Now, notice what he says. For I say to you, you shall not see me at all from this time forward until you shall say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, God promises that he's going to save the tents of Judah first during the tribulation. So that will happen. We've covered that in other sermons. But because of this, and Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us, they do not understand God's plan of salvation. It's available to them to understand. The New Testament is there if they would read it. And even David Stern has translated the Old Testament and New Testament, called it the Jewish Bible, directed strictly for Jewish people. Now, there are a good number of Jews who call themselves Messianic Jews. But the only Jew that I know, now there may be some few others somewhere, but I don't know of them. But the only Jew that I know who has forsaken all Jewish tradition is Michael Heiss. I know of no one else. Now, if there are, I'd love to meet him. And in this is not being anti-Semitic. Though Jews would consider it anti-Semitic, but Jews do not consider their anti-Christian attitudes and verbiage and behavior and attacks and slurs and deprecations upon us as evil or anti-Christian. That's just the way the facts are, not just looking at it. Good comment that the Jews waiting for the Messiah, in a sense that is true, but they're still looking for the wrong one. They're looking for a physical man to come and rule them and then through them rule the world. Because they read the Old Testament, they see all the prophecies there and so forth concerning that. However, isn't it interesting? Those fall holy days, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles in the last great day, they haven't done anything to change those days from the correct days listed in the Bible. Okay? Many of them still keep those things, but also what do those days portray? The coming Messiah. But it's not going to come the way that they think. I mean, you read the book of Revelation, how that's going to happen, and the rest of it. It's going to be an awesome thing indeed. See? So let's come back here to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and let's see another principle that we've covered, but let's put it in here. Okay, Matthew 7. How do you understand? You understand by doing. How do you understand the Sabbath? By keeping the Sabbath. And when I meet new people who say, well, you know, I'm convinced that the Sabbath is the day we ought to worship on, and but I still have doubts in my mind, and I don't know what I should do. So I always tell them this. Why don't you take 1 month and keep the Sabbath every Sabbath during that month, and on the Sabbath day spend most of the day studying about the Sabbath. And then I'll come back and see you on the 5th week and see if you understand about the Sabbath. And 95% of them understand about the Sabbath because you understand by doing. Same thing with driving a car. Maybe you can read a manual all day long, but unless you get in it and drive it, don't know how to do it. Same way you can get in these test modules, you know, and drive a car, fly a plane, and all this sort of thing. But until you get in the car, you get in the plane, and really understand it and know about it. Isn't it anxious? Isn't it something that people get anxious when they want to learn about a new car or a plane or something? They want to know everything about it. But why not treat the Bible the same way? Why not know everything about it? Now he says to the false prophets, verse 21, we've covered this before, but this is an appropriate place to read it again. And a lot of people do not think they're false prophets. They do not understand that because they preach some of the truth, they're not preaching all the truth. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But notice this sentence here. This is quite something. But the one who's doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, what is the will of the Father? What did Jesus say? He said, I don't speak from myself, but I speak what the Father has commanded me to speak. Into that one. So even Jesus did not do anything of himself. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? Because the very first thing that people want to do is to improve on God and add this or take away that and do it this way and do it a different way, you see. Well, you know, most of the people today believe in Sunday, so surely we can understand about God on Sunday. Well, you can understand something. But do they know the plan of God? No. Same way with the Jews. Only it's the other end of the scale. So the key is, the one who's doing the will of my Father who is in heaven, and you find out the will of the Father by studying the New Testament, because Jesus came to reveal the Father, right? Yes. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy through your name? I just saw a wonderful ad for, what's his name? Joel Osteen. He's on a tour. He's got his rock band and lights and, you know, all of the Pentecostal stuff moving back and forth and all of that. You see, going to have numbers, great numbers. See? There's no conversion there. God is not there. Now people will follow that. They're not doing the will of the Father. Did we not cast out demons through your name? It was the name of Christ, not you. See? And did we not perform many works of power through your name? Then I will confess to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Now, King James says iniquity. But lawlessness can include false righteousness. Even if you do the will of God and you credit it to yourself, that's the story of Job. I did a sermon up in Seattle when I was up there on what was the sin of Job. You look and see, everything he did was what God said, right? Everything he did was what God would have us do. But he accredited it to himself as if it came from him. So therefore, even that righteousness in the letter was lawlessness because he didn't give honor to God. That's why the book of Job is so hard to understand. That's, you know, and someone's going to say, well, Fred Kolder, how can you call obedience lawlessness? If you do not, as Elihu said, ascribe all your righteousness to God, Sabbath keeping, holy day keeping, your conduct with people, telling the truth, all of those things, that all comes from God. Anything that we do that is good, all good comes from God. So when we attribute it to ourselves, then we are taking the prerogatives of God and presenting it as if it originated with us. So we have to acknowledge God the Father and Jesus Christ in everything. Now, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them. Now, this gets down to the same thing we've covered in the Old Testament many times, obeying the voice of the Lord, right? Yes. Is Jesus Lord? Yes. But there's even one school of thought today that, since in Romans 15 it says that Jesus was a minister to the circumcision, therefore everything in the Gospels only applies to the Jews. We don't have to do that. Now it says, therefore everyone, is that limited to Jews? Who hears these words of mine, you can say reads them, okay, and practices them. It's not enough to read. It's not enough to be acquainted with. Now you have a responsibility. Practices them. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon the house, but it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. That rock is Christ. That's what everything has to be. Everything we do has to be founded on Christ, which then is the will of the Father. Now, when you read all of the epistles, what do you find in all the epistles? How does Paul start out? Especially Paul. Grace and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Yes. And so that introduces every epistle. So every epistle flows right along with what Jesus said here. All right, let's go ahead and take a little break.